Catcher. And welcome, welcome. It's good to be able to be here. Been kind of chomping at the bit to start on this series of messages. We're going to kick back over to the fundamental beliefs that we've been working on, but we're going to jump. After the Sabbath comes a fundamental belief regarding Passover, and I figured we'll defer that one. And we're going to jump over to fundamental belief number 12, the festivals of God. I figure it's going to take me a couple to get through this. And this is a good time of the year to dive into the topic of the festivals of God. So the fundamental belief series, and we're going to read the fundamental belief, and then we're going to jump in to see how much we have left to cover so we can still stop 1 minute early. Fundamental belief goes, we believe in the commanded observance of the seven annual holy days given to ancient Israel by God, the apostles, and the New Testament church. These holy days reveal God's plan of salvation. So I'd like to start off with the question of what are the festivals of God? What are the festivals of God? Let's jump over to Genesis chapter 1. Looking at the Sabbath, you're considering that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, we see a bit in the midst of creation. This is the day 4. God says, let there be light to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. The lights in the firmaments, the sun, the moon, the stars. I was actually having a conversation with somebody before services. They were talking about seeing the crescent. You have the new moon where it's none whatsoever, and in that first night where you've got the glimmer of that moon that's coming back, that initial crescent, you have the start. And guess what is 4 weeks, 28 days from today? It is Feast of Trumpets, a memorial, the blowing of trumpets, right? But they were there, these lights, these firmaments. We talked about them being a clock when we were talking about calendars, but they're there for signs, for seasons. They're there, the sun, the moon, and the stars, to keep track of things, because the word here for seasons is moed, which means it's an appointed place. An appointed time or a meeting. It's something that is set up. An appointed place or time. It's a meeting. Well, let's jump over to Leviticus 23, which probably most of you are thinking, haha, we're going to go to Leviticus 23. We're talking about the feasts. You were right. Leviticus 23, we start off verses 1 and 2. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. Feasts of the Lord. Going back to Genesis, the same word for feasts here, of the Lord, they're to be holy convocations. That word for feasts is moed. They are set times. They are appointed times set by God. From creation, day 4, as he's putting the sun, the moon, and the stars in the heavens, he says, here is what they're for. They're for you to keep track of things. So we have the holy days. And I think just about every year you'll go through and you'll be like, man, you know, it does seem like it's harvest time. And you look at when the crops are ready and you look at when the crops get planted, lo and behold, it's right in line with what God set up for his holy days. Who'd have thunk? God did. God set it up. That's who thunk it. And God put that together. So we have that appointed time. We have the appointed place. God put that in motion. The Moed here, Strong's defines Moed, these feasts, as a fixed time or season, specifically a festival. Now, for the purpose of our conversation today, as we're looking at the festivals of God, I would like to distinguish between feasts that we're going to outline here in Leviticus 23, and festivals. We're going to distinguish between feasts and festivals. So the feasts, Moed, they are fixed times set aside by God. But when we're looking at this from the fundamental beliefs of the United Church of God, and how we talk about this, we're talking about the festivals, we're talking about fixed times set aside by God to have a holy convocation. and an offering is brought forth. So it's not just a time that is set by God, because there are many things that are set by God that are fixed appointed times. And we'll actually go through that a little bit as we jump between Leviticus and Numbers and a number of other places, where there are times that are set aside, but they are not described as a holy convocation. This is why, in our fundamental beliefs, number 11, which we jumped over to get to the festivals of God, number 11 is the Passover, which is a set time. It's an appointed time, but there is not a holy convocation that is brought together with an offering. There is obviously the Passover lamb, right? But there are different ways that was kept. And so when we're looking at this, the purpose of our conversation today, feasts are those set times. Festivals are the set times where you come together as a holy convocation with an offering to gather before the Lord. Okay? So that's how we're distinguishing these. And let's jump, before we dive back into things, let's go to Exodus 13. Exodus 13, because we'll see here, interesting thing, if somebody's ever asking you, and this can probably play a little bit more into the concept of the Passover, taking the sacraments, Eucharist, if you're talking to someone else, the bread and the wine. When we talk about the symbols of Passover, in Exodus 13, verse 3, it's talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Moses says to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten on this day. On this day you are going out in the month of Abib." Carries on. Let's jump down to verse 9, as it's giving more direction about the unleavened bread. So verse 9 says, "It shall be a sign, as a sign to you on your hand, and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year." So this tells you how frequently do you take it, because people will jump to the New Testament and they'll say, well, it's as often as you eat of it, as often as you drink this cup and eat this bread in my name. And so people are like, well, more frequently is better. What does it say here when we're talking about how frequently they were to do the Passover and unleavened bread? It says, "You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season at its prescribed time from year to year." So the Hebrew there is actually moed yom yom. So it's from year to year, yom yom, but it's moed. So in its prescribed time. So we do these things on an annual basis, and we view these as God's annual festivals. These are not things that we just do all the time. All right? So diving in, let's go back to, as we're looking at the festivals of God, let's go back to Leviticus 23, starting in verse 3. You might want to put a marker here, because we're going to come back to this quite a bit. 7 times, in fact. Who'd have thunk? Leviticus 23, verse 3, we see the first of the feasts of the Lord, and this is where we're going to draw start to look at some of the interesting distinctions between the different feasts on how they're to be observed. On the Sabbath, Leviticus 23, verse 3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. So you come together to a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. You jump over to, keep your spot here, go to Numbers 28. And if you have a second marker, this is a good spot to drop a second marker. Numbers 28, because we're going to be back here, Numbers 28 and 29. I'm going to follow along with what I'm saying to you. We're going to go Numbers 28. We'll pick it up at verse 9. It says, "And on the Sabbath day, 2 lambs in their first year." This is talking about the offerings. There are different offerings that were prescribed for the children of Israel when they came together. "And on the Sabbath day, 2 lambs in their first year without blemish, and 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering mixed with oil with its drink offering. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath besides the regular burnt offering with its drink offering," which you can read about in the first 8 verses of Numbers 28. So it's talking about the different things that happen on a daily basis. On the Sabbath you do more, and then on these other feast days, if they fall, you add to that whatever that amount is. For the central business district, you guys are all off. But for those of you who are out, especially during harvest time, you can work. Well, God says, on the Sabbath, Doesn't matter what time of the year it is. This is a sanctified, set-apart, holy time. We convocate and bring an offering. So, in summary, you have a holy convocation, which is a holy convocation, if you were to look that up, it's Kodesh Mikra. Have a holy convocation, no work, and you offer an offering. Back over in Leviticus 23, if you notice, we're jumping over Passover. We're going to go to another festival of God. Now, this is different than the Sabbath day. And I listed the Sabbath here because we just went over the Sabbath. But it is not one of the annual Sabbaths of the Lord. Obviously, it happens. But we're going to see a slight distinction between the Sabbath and these other annual Sabbaths, these annual festivals. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 4 through 8, we read about Days of Unleavened Bread. It says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. But on the fifth, unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it." And so we see a distinction here. You have a 7-day long festival. They actually offer the same offering all 7 days, which we'll go over to Numbers 28 and we'll look at that. But they offer the same offering for 7 days, but there is a holy convocation on the first day and on the seventh day. There's no customary work specifically on the first day or on the seventh day. So we're seeing those distinctly brought out. And so this is where we talk about having those high holy days. We talk about having that time where, if you go back in history in the church, there was a time when all 7 days of the Days of Unleavened Bread were kept, because in the same fashion as what the children of Israel would do, you would have the pilgrimage feasts. You would often see in Scripture, you'll see Passover lumped in with the Days of Unleavened Bread, because it was, well, the Days of Unleavened Bread or the Passover was upon us. Well, it's talking about that same spring holiday season. Okay? So over in Numbers 28, verse 16, Numbers 28, verse 16 through 25, you see about the Passover. Now, it's just calling it the Passover here, but it distinguishes between the Passover on the 14th and the Days of Unleavened Bread beginning on the 17th. "So on the 15th day of this month is the feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. On the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. You shall present an offering made by fire as a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs in their first year. And be sure they're without blemish." And it goes through the different ones that are offered. Verse 25, "And on the seventh day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it." Now let's jump over to Deuteronomy 16. And we're going to tie in a scripture that we have probably often turned to, especially on holy days as we're talking about offerings and things. But this is where we see a distinction between the holy convocation on the Sabbath and the holy convocations that are for the annual Sabbaths, as opposed to the weekly Sabbath. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1 says, "Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name." As a distinction, I'm just going to draw as an aside. Really good message by Mr. Petty, and I've tried to cover this when I'm talking about the Passovers of the Bible. But you have the first Passover when they're in Egypt. He says, stay in your home. Don't go out during the night. Once they have an established tabernacle and a place, he says, go where the Lord has told you to sacrifice the animal, the lamb. And that's where it says here, go to the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. That's in verse 2. So you have a change. Then you have a third change that happens in the life of Jesus Christ. As he says, here are the new symbols of the Passover. This is what we do. So we don't keep the Passover of Exodus, nor do we keep the Passover of Deuteronomy. We keep the Passover as exemplified by Jesus Christ. All right? Anyway, that aside done. Verse 3, Deuteronomy 16. "You shall eat no leavened bread with it 7 days. You shall eat unleavened bread with it, that is, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. And no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory for 7 days, nor any meat, which you sacrifice the first day at twilight, remain overnight until morning. Verse 5, you may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you. Again, that's a very distinct difference from the Passover in Exodus. Let me jump down here, and we'll go to the end of this in verse 16 of Deuteronomy 16. It says, 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we just read about, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. So we see here on the annual feast, 3 times a year, when we're talking about unleavened bread, because they would come together for holy convocations, at the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, and for the Feast of Tabernacles, for the Feast of Tabernacles and the Autumn Festival, they would bring with them an offering, a freewill offering. Now, this is not the daily offerings, the daily sacrifices, because those are outlined at the beginning of Numbers 28. They're not the sacrifices specifically for that day, which are also outlined in Numbers 28 and 29. These are freewill offerings given by the people. So this is not something they did on the Sabbath. So we don't pass the plate every Sabbath. This is why we do it on an annualized basis. 3 times a year we come before the Lord, and he says, if you come before, the reason we do it traditionally is the 7 times on those 7 holy days is because we're supposed to come together, and he says, and don't appear before the Lord empty-handed. Well, when are you appearing before the Lord? When we convocate and we come together. And so those are the holy days. So this is logically why we have come to what we do, and it's all rooted here through the scriptures. So we see for the days of unleavened bread, there's a holy convocation. There's no customary work on the first and the seventh day. And you offer the same offering every single day. Let's go back to Leviticus 23. Pick up in verse 14. Here we have the most named holy day of all of them. It's got a bunch of different names, AKAs. This is the Feast of Weeks, a.k.a. the Feast of First Fruits, a.k.a. Pentecost. So, a couple different ways, not a couple, 3 different ways that it is named throughout Scripture. Verse 14 of Leviticus 23, verse 15 of Leviticus 23. It says, and you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Now, if you notice, we've jumped over the wave sheaf offering, which was offered on the day following the Sabbath of the during the days of unleavened bread. That symbolic of Jesus Christ, just as he was resurrected, he went to the Father, he was offered to the Father there as the first of the first fruits. And so we're over at the Feast of Weeks, because there is no holy convocation prescribed for the wave sheaf offering, but there is here for the Feast of Weeks. So you count 7 Sabbaths, count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. You shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 loaves of 2 tenths of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish. Goes down to verse 21. We'll jump down there. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleanings from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am Pentecost, Leviticus 23, 14 to 22 that we went over, Numbers 28, verses 26 to 31. Deuteronomy 16:9-12 and Exodus 34:22. And on the Feast of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, there is a holy convocation. There is no customary work, and there's an offering. Carrying on in Leviticus 23, jump down to verse 23, we have the Feast of Trumpets, that which is coming up in 4 short weeks, the Feast of Trumpets. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying in verse 23 here of Leviticus 23, "In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." I think it's wonderfully insightful of God that as we go through this, He's giving some pretty clear instruction on this day. Remember the Moed, this time, this specific time, in this specific way, and He tells them exactly what they need to do. So many times people will say, "Well, I wonder what would please God," and they try to think of things, and they'll come up with ideas. "Ah, I think that would be beneficial. That would be uplifting. That would be great." God says you. And we don't just have it recorded once, because you can go over to Numbers 29 for this one. Numbers 29, verse 1, and we'll see the corresponding passage regarding the Day of Trumpets here in Numbers 29, verse 1. It says, "In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. For you, it is a day of blowing the trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord, one young bull, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year without blemish. They're grain offerings." And he goes through the amount of that. "And besides the burnt offerings with its grain offerings," so in addition to the burnt offerings and the grain offerings that it just describes, "you also give the offerings for the new moon." Remember, because it is the first day of the month, so it's a new moon offering. "The regular burnt offerings with its grain offering, their drink offerings, according to the ordinance, as a sweet aroma, offering made by fire to the Lord." So that is the Feast of Trumpets. So on that day, there is a holy convocation. There's no customary work. And there's an offering, and we are to offer an offering. Back over in Leviticus 23, verse 26, we see the next festival of God. And that is the Day of Atonement. And if this is all sounding very basic, it's because I knew it was a split sermon. And so we're only... observed across time. But in Leviticus 23, verse 26, we see the Day of Atonement. "The Lord God spoke to Moses, saying, also the tenth day of this seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that day, on that same day, for it is a throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening to evening you shall celebrate your Sabbath." So you start when the sun goes down that ninth day, and you go all the way over through the tenth day. But if you didn't pick up on it, the Day of Atonement, you are to afflict your souls. It only says it like four times in this passage that that's what we're supposed to do. And if we don't do it, God says you're going to be cut off, because there's a lesson to be learned there. Again, we'll get into the spiritual implications of what that means. But let's go over to Numbers 29, verse 7. Numbers 29, verse 7 says, "On the tenth day of this seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls. You shall not do any work. You shall present a burnt offering to the Lord as a sweet aroma, one young bull, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year. Be sure they are without blemish. Their grain offering shall be of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the one ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. And also, one kid of the goats is a sin offering. Besides the sin offering for atonement, the regular burnt offerings, and its grain offering, and their drink offerings." So, this is where I'm happy that I'm not in ancient Israel, and you're having to do that kind of work and slaughtering and butchering on a day where you are not eating and haven't been eating for quite a while. But it is a big, I'll say, a shift as far as what we're talking about for the other days. It is still on this day a holy convocation. An offering is made, but there is absolutely no work. None. Anybody who does any kind of work is going to be cut off. And so we not only see here a prescription about how to or what to do on that day, like we've seen for the other festivals of God. But we see here, and if then, if you don't do what I said, you're going to be cut off. Whereas with the others, we don't get that. So we are to afflict our souls, holy convocation, absolutely no work, and also bring an offering to God. Back at Leviticus 23, we'll see another holy day here, another festival of God that is captured in Leviticus 23, verse 33. This is the Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Ingathering. Leviticus 23, verse 33 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord." So you get three of these festivals packed right in within the... You have one on the first day, one on the 10th day, one on the 15th. It's all packed in nice and tight. "On the first day," verse 35, "there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." As you go down through here, you'll see that there's quite a bit of sacrifices given to God. You start off on the 15th day of the month. You come in. I'll read a little bit more here. On the verse 39 here in Leviticus 23. So, also on the 15th, I left off, customary work, 7 days. Let's read verse 37, because I don't want to miss what's in 37 and 38 either. Verse 37, "So these are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offering, everything on its day, besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, besides your gifts," our offerings, "besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings, which you give to the Lord." So these are, if you're like, well, I gave an offering last week. He says, not to be, but it's like, well, that was last week. You bring an offering on these days. You come forward with a freewill offering. We do these sacrifices. We have a holy convocation. It doesn't matter if you were just over at the tabernacle or the temple last week. You come back there for this one, because this is where we come together. This is what God says to do. Verse 39, "So also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. And on the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the 8th day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast of the Lord for 7 days. For 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And so Moses declared to the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. If you go over to Numbers 29, this is where I was referencing the offerings that are given, the burnt offerings that are given on the various days of the feast. So on the 15th day, this is verse 12 of Numbers 29, "On the 15th day of the seventh month you shall make a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, and you shall keep a feast of the Lord for 7 days. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire, as a sweet aroma to the Lord, 13 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in their first year. They shall be with them, getting progressively fewer, and dwelling in booths." So you're not in your normal housing, which we don't see, incidentally, for the other pilgrimage feasts. You don't see that for the Days of Unleavened Bread. But also consider, what are you doing with your dwelling during the Day of Unleavened Bread? Keeping all the leaven out before your abode. And now here there's abundance. We're not worried about the leaven. And he says, you can be in other people's places, because go do a temporary dwelling. And so we stay in temporary dwellings. Now we do that for not only 7 days, but we also do that for 8 days, because the last of the festivals of God is saying, because it's not outlined as its own day, but we recognize it and we understand the meaning of the eighth day. And when we link that to what comes to pass after the millennial reign of Christ, that 1,000 years, we know that there is the great white throne judgment. And so we know that there is that other day. And we see, we've read through in Leviticus and we've read through in Numbers, we'll see that, oh, you keep the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. And you do no customary work on the seventh day or on the eighth day. You're like, wait, hold on. Last I checked, 7 was 7. And now all of a sudden there's an eighth. Yes, because there's an eighth day. And there's a lot to be said about numerology and the eighth being. But Leviticus 23, verse 36, we'll see this brought out. Leviticus 23, verse 36, it mentions this. It says, for 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It's a sacred assembly. You shall do no customary work on it. Jump down to verse 39. It says, also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. So we have distinguished out the eighth day. There's also that same sort of distinction drawn out in Numbers 29, where we just were, verses 35 to 38. It tells us, on the eighth day you shall have a sacred assembly. You shall do no customary work. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord, one bull, one ram, 7 lambs in their first year without blemish, and their grain offering and their drink offering. And we present that all to the Lord on his appointed feast, besides our vowed offerings and our freewill offerings. So we see a distinction between the 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles and the eighth day. And I would say that I would make the argument that understanding what this day means, and we'll go over this in a future message, is one of the most amazing bits of understanding that I would say that we have in the Church of God when we look at the plan that he has laid out. Because this is the difference. That eighth day and what it means for all of mankind is the difference between, it's the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between having to know God now or having an opportunity in the future. It is the difference between having a vengeful God that's just not fair and one who really loves his children. It is such a distinction. And we'll go over that in a number, in a message in the future. So on this eighth day, what we have is what is called, it's outlined as a Sabbath rest, but it's called a sacred assembly. Now, I have not done more study to see what the distinction is between the Atzerah, which is the sacred assembly, as opposed to the Kodesh Mikra, which is a holy convocation. But there's a different word, a different phrase that's used to describe it. But there's a sacred assembly. We do know that it is still a Sabbath rest. There is no customary work. There are offerings offered on the eighth day. So these are all the festivals of the Lord. We have the weekly one in the Sabbath, and then we have the annual one through these last few that we've gone through, the unleavened bread. 2 times we have holy convocations, the feast of Pentecost, we have 1 convocation, the Feast of Trumpets, 1 convocation, the Day of Atonement, 1 holy convocation. The Feast of Tabernacles, we have 1 on the 7th day, but then we also have 1 on the 8th day, which is its own holy convocation. So these are the festivals of God. These are the festivals that we observe, and we'll go into more detail about not only how Israel or how the apostles kept them, but also to look at their meaning within regards to God's salvation, or his plan of salvation for all mankind, in a future message.